much, Will and Tully. We have a very special opportunity this Sabbath morning as well to uplift unto the Lord our teachers and our students. So I'd like to invite any of our teachers here at Roseburg Junior Academy, but also elsewhere, if you teach, we'd like to also pray for you. And any students at RJA, students at Roseburg High, students at UCC, students at technical school, you're a student. And so I'd like to invite you to come forward to have a word of prayer. I'd like to also ask that our elders come forward as we pray for you. I see students coming. I see elders. I see some teachers. Oh, wonderful. School has just recently started, and let me tell you, the Bible says, and what the Bible says is true, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And so I'd like to invite those who are here on the platform to kneel as we seek God's blessing. Father, we thank you. Because you are the one who sent us the greatest teacher there ever was, Jesus Christ. And we look to you because without you, we can do nothing. And we uplift this day our teachers. Thank you so much for them. Some of them teach in the Adventist system. Some of them teach in public school or public college. But nonetheless, they are teaching and they are ministering. And they're touching hearts, they're forming characters. And I pray that you will sustain them. Their ministries are not easy. They are challenging. And I pray that their strength may be renewed, that they may ever have before them the assurance to know that their efforts aren't just seen in the here and now, but they will be seen in eternity. Father, we ask you bless and protect our students. We live in a time in which evermore there are sad scenes at schools. So may your angels protect these campuses. May hearts be open to you as they not only learn about mathematics and science and social studies and geography, but may they come to learn of the one who made all these things and is soon to come. Thank you for the ministry that our teachers are doing. Thank you for the ministry that our students are receiving. May you bless them and keep them, and may we as a church family continue to support them with all that we can. In Jesus' name, amen. As they're making their way back, I'd like to invite Jessica and Sandra and also Rose Mediati to receive your baptismal certificates. We want to give you this token of commemoration. Rose was baptized previously, but we just had not gotten to her baptismal certificate. And we also have something special for you three. This is for you. This is for you and for you too, Rose. This is for you. These are just some poems to commemorate the occasion. By Sandra Haynes. May God bless you. All right. What a blessing it is to be in the house of God, particularly on a high Sabbath like it is today, where we have seen lives being changed and lives continue to be changed. As we get into the Word of God, let us bow our heads. Gracious Father, we thank you because you're a God who talks to your children. You communicate to us. And I pray that our ears and hearts might be open to you. Speak, O Lord, for your servants heareth. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want to hear it. Ever heard that before? I just don't want to hear it. We hear so much noise every day that sometimes we just don't want to hear anything else. I mean, I don't even drive with the radio on just to have some peace and quiet. Maybe you can relate. Tired of listening. Tired of listening to bad news. Tired of listening to drama. And this problem here and that problem there. But maybe we could be tempted to maybe even stop listening altogether. Parents love it when their children listen, all the parents said. That's right. Teachers love it when their students listen, and the teacher said, amen. I wonder how God feels when we listen. Something to think about. How must God feel when we listen to him? Do I always listen to God? Well, I wish I always listened to God. Maybe you too. Does it even make a difference if I listen to God? I reckon it does make a difference. So much so that I end up actually happier when I listen to God. How about you? I think so too. He loves us so much that he uses other means to get our attention if by any chance we don't want to hear it. What does God do? Has God tried getting your attention lately? How has God tried getting your attention lately? Because he uses many, many different means. It could be something that came your way that drives you to your knees. And now you not only want to hear from God, but you want him to listen to you. Listen to me. So what does God do when we don't want to listen to him? Does God just kind of sit on his hands and say, oh, well, I guess they don't want to listen? What does God do? Well, I'll tell you what he does. He sends prophets. When God's people don't want to listen to God, he sends prophets. And I praise God that God has sent us a prophet. I mean, if as a people we do not have a prophet, we at the wrong place, according to Revelation 12, 17. Praise God for the spirit of prophecy as revealed in the ministry of Ellen White. And God sent prophets before. He's always sent prophets. Why has he sent prophets? Because we don't want to hear it. That's why. And we need to be careful, church family, because maybe even we're sitting right here and sound is going into our ears, but we're not listening. The prophet Ezekiel, God spoke to. We're going to spend the majority of our time in Ezekiel chapter 37, a story you know well. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, it won't be up on the screen, but it'll be in the Word of God. Does the Bible say? The Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of what? Bones. Ezekiel sees a valley filled with bones. That's an interesting sight if you ask me. I wouldn't want to see that sight if I were Ezekiel. I would think, maybe I'm at the wrong place. I like being around people and people being around me so we can talk, so we can share, we can do stuff together. But these bones, they are not moving an inch. Verse 2 says, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very what? Dry. So get this. There's not only a whole bunch of bones in the valley, they dry bones. That's what the Bible says. Ezekiel notices there's a problem. What's the problem? The bones are dry. Not just that, the bones aren't just dry. People have died, or else there wouldn't be bones there to begin with. That's what these bones are trying to have us understand. We don't go to the grocery store to buy bones, at least I hope not. That represents something was there before, something was alive, but it's no longer alive. Bones. Verse 3 says, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. What can God do? What is Ezekiel asking? And what is God asking Ezekiel? Is there anything impossible for God? We say that pretty quick. No, nothing impossible for God. But when we're up a creek without a paddle, do we say no that quickly? No. Ezekiel believes that God has resurrection power. Do you believe God has a resurrection power? I mean, you just finished seeing a resurrection a few moments ago in the baptistry. That's called resurrection according to Romans chapter 6. And that's one of the joys of ministry. Leading someone who was in darkness, someone who was in pain, to come alive. I mean, you could not wipe the smiles off of Jessica and Sandra's faces. Why? Because there's something in the inside. Something's changed. There's a new life. Do you believe God has resurrection power, church family? You will be asked this question, not by me this week, but God will ask you that question. Can I do it again? Can I take care of your problem? Can I not only take care of your problem, can I take care of you? Who are these bones representing? Well, the Bible's very clear. The spirit of prophecy gives them some nuances. The souls of those whom we desire to save are like the representation which Ezekiel saw in vision, a valley of dry bones. They are dead in trespasses and sins, but God would have us deal with them as though they were living. We are to preach the word of life to those whom we may judge to be as hopeless subjects as though they were in their graves, though they may seem unwilling to hear or to receive the light of truth. Without questioning or wavering, we are to do what? Our part. That means you got a part, I got a part. Who are these bones representing? First and foremost, those we desire to reach for Jesus that don't know Jesus. It starts there, but doesn't end there. But not only does this simile of the dry bones apply to the world, but also to those who have been blessed with what kind of light? Great light. For they also are like the skeletons of the valley. These bones represent the house of Israel, the church of God. And the hope of the church is the vivifying influence of the Holy Spirit. The Lord must breathe upon these dry bones that they may live. This class is what represented by the valley of dry bones Ezekiel saw in vision. those who have committed to them the treasures of truth, and yet who are dead in trespasses and sin, need to be created anew in Christ Jesus. There is so little real vitality in the church at the present time that it takes constant labor to give men the appearance of life to the professed people of God. Now get this. When the converting power of God comes upon who? The people. It will be made manifest by activity. So, who do these bones represent? Those we desire to reach for Jesus, but also it represents a church. And guess who's the church? That's you. That's me. Sometimes we talk at church saying, oh, the church this. Oh, the church that. Well, wait. Who's the church? Church is you. Church is me. So if we're going to start complaining about the church, guess who we're complaining about? Well, these bones represent the church. And I'm not crazy about that, because guess what? I'm part of the church. The Bible's trying to tell me I'm part of the dry bones. Maybe you're part of the dry bones too. God is asking Ezekiel if those who don't know Jesus can come to life. Can they? Yes, they can. Not just that. If those who do know truth can come back to life. Who knows truth here? I ask that again. Who knows truth here? You know, yeah, we do know truth. And the reality of the situation is that God is wanting me to be made alive rather than a dry bone. Can he do it, church family? Will he do it? He's promised. What's God's solution for the cemetery? It sounds like a strange solution if you ask me. Ezekiel 37, verse 4, the Bible says, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I mean, God could have said, you know, break out the defibrillators. No, he didn't say that. He said, preach to them, prophesy specifically, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. That could be kind of hard, because you know what? I don't want to hear it. I got this to do. I got that to do. I don't have time. For God. I don't have time for his word. I'm a busy man. Why would God tell Ezekiel to preach, hear the word of the Lord? Because we don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen. They're dead. Hear the word of the Lord. Have we heard that somewhere in the Bible? It sounds something like this. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So, if I'm in the word of God, how is my faith? Is it strong or is it weak? If I'm in the word of God, it's strong. But if I'm not in the word of God, guess what? Olive oil can knock me out. Here's some good news, church family. God is going to do something. Verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall what? I will lay sinews or ligaments upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. What else is God going to do? He's going to raise the dead. He's going to put some skin on them bones. He's going to breathe on us, and we will know God, the Bible says. So Ezekiel goes ahead and does it. He says to these dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And Ezekiel saw some things happen. It starts happening. What starts happening? The bones came together. There was nobody else there. God made it happen. The bones were covered in flesh. The bones came together, but yet there's still a little problem in that they were still D-E-A-D, dead. I mean, what do you have there? Bones together, covered in flesh. You have a cadaver. That's what it is. Why? Because there's no breath, there's no breathing. That's why. How did the dead come back to life? Verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Ezekiel did the very same thing that God told him to do, and they came to life, the Bible says. Genesis 2, verse 7 talks about how God made man, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils, what? The breath of life. And man became a living soul. What God did to make man in the beginning was the following. He took the dust and he added to the dust the breath of life. Some versions call it the spirit. And the result was man became a living soul. Other versions call a living being or a living person. What it is that you alive. That's what you are. I remember this one time visiting a saint at the nursing home. And I walked in and I looked at them and they weren't looking too good. And there was a nurse next door. And I said, are they okay? And they said, oh, they just passed. I said, oh, that explains a lot. How do you know somebody's passed? How do you know somebody's D-E-A-D dead? They're not breathing. God told Ezekiel, tell them, hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits what? Nada. The words that I speak to you are what? Spirit, and they are life. As we're in this book, the book of books, the Bible, the Word of God, my life comes alive. I find meaning. I find purpose. There's motion. I'm actually living. The words that I speak to you, the word of God, are what? They are spirit and they are life. Are we alive, church family? You see, we live in a time when we're afraid to hold each other accountable. Seriously. One of the things I ask my Bible students in class, you know this question full well. It goes something like this. How are we doing with our Bible homework? Why? Because I care enough to ask. Sometimes the answer is, I'm doing good. Sometimes the answer is kind of so-so. Sometimes the answer, Pastor, we need an APB on my Bible homework because I can't find it. We don't even ask each other at Sabbath school anymore. Do we care about each other? When we care about each other, we ask the important questions. And last time I checked, being alive is important. And the Bible says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God doesn't just bring us back to life, church family. Here's some good news, verse 12 and on. Therefore prophesying, saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my what? Spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and have performed it, saith the Lord. He's going to bring us home. And let me tell you, it's the word of God that brought Jessica and Sandra home. This is home. And it's the word of God that gets us home. Why? Because we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why. We want to be with God. If you're looking for home, it's right here. This is home. Because when we're with the one who has the words of life, that's living. The Bible says that we will know God. Maybe you're here today and want to know God. Don't leave today without saying, Pastor, you talking about me. I want to know God. I want to really know God. God promised to put his spirit upon us so that we will know God. Computer's acting up on me. Great Controversy, page 431, the Bible says, the spirit of prophecy. As they reject the teachings of his word, God withdraws his spirit and leaves them to the deceptions which they love. If I start saying, I don't want to hear it, and we put God's word aside, what does God do? He starts removing his spirit. Why? Because I've made a decision to turn from God. But as I turn towards God, the Holy Spirit starts moving me even closer to him, to even love him even more. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the challenges I face. My life is hard. Well, Isaiah chapter 40 tells us, have you not known? Have you not what? Heard. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Is that you? And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The way we get to know who God is by hearing. If you find yourself weak today, hear the word of the Lord. If you find yourself looking for safety and a shelter because it's just so tough, hear the word of the Lord. John 17, verse 3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Do you not know? Have you not? Ezekiel 37, 15 to 23 tells us that God starts bringing us together. Amazingly. You see, in our home, we have many different tactics to try to maintain order and civility and serenity. This is one of those devices. on those sticks, which ironically, those verses in Ezekiel 37 talks about sticks. Some of the sticks have nothing on them. They're just the color. Others of the sticks have something nice written on them. And this is how it works. If one sibling of ours starts misbehaving, we give a stick to the other sibling. And there's nothing like competition to bring things in order. Since one kid doesn't want the other kid to have more sticks, what do? They put the brakes on and start behaving. All because of competition. And you know what? Sometimes we can come to church and compete as well, thinking that we're different sticks. When the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He makes us into one stick. That's what the Bible says. You see, it's not time for sticks so that I can be better or I can be recognized or they can see me. No, it's time to be one with my brother and sister in Christ. Why is God bringing us together, church family? Verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, "And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever." Why does God want to bring us together? Why? Because He's our king. And since He's our king, that means we get the opportunity to love Him and love His children as well. Why is God bringing us together, revived by His Spirit? "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." Don't we find in Exodus 25, verse 8, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among." Why does God bring us together? So that He can dwell with us. Because when there's a whole bunch of division and different factions, that's chaos. That's confusion. And my Bible tells me that God is a God of order. God will dwell with us. And the heathen will see what God has done in our lives. The old Negro spiritual would say, "Dem bones, dem bones. Them dry bones, them bones, them bones, them. Dry bones, them bones, them bones, them. Dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. The toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the shin bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. The knee bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the hip bone connected to the backbone. Now hear the word of the Lord. The backbone connected to the neck bone connected to the head bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Them bones gonna walk around. Them bones gonna walk around. Them bones gonna walk around. Now hear the word of the Lord." There's a couple things that kept on getting repeated in that old spiritual. Number one, Now hear the word of the Lord. And then as we went through the whole anatomy, the toe bone connected. Knee bone connected. Backbone connected. Thigh bone connected. Head bone connected. Do you think God is trying to do something, church family? His church needs to be connected. Well, until he didn't know what I was preaching about, talking about the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. And it's his spirit that connects us when we hear the word of the Lord. So if I'm not in my Bible and you're not in your Bible, how much connection is there? Not a whole lot, but amazing things happen when we are. What has God done in your life lately that causes the heathen to want to know God? That's the question. Jessica and Sandra were studying away. Jesse said, I need what you got. Kept on studying some more. Krista said, I need what you got. When are the heathen going to ask us, I want what you got? Now hear the word of the Lord. My question is, do you want to hear it? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I don't know about you, but these words are beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Is it time to want to hear it? If that is your desire, let us stand as we sing our closing hymn. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. I want to spend time with him every morning. I want to know him as my God.
Hymn number 322. Let's sing all three stanzas, please.
Nothing preventing us. loving Father.
Thank you because you have not only spoken to us already, but you speak to us now. And Father, we want to hear it. We want to hear you every day. We want to know you every day. We want your Spirit to change our hearts and lives. We want your Spirit to connect us to you and to each other. We want your Spirit to transform us in such a way that those who know you not may ask us, tell me about your God. Bless your church, O God. Revive us, dead bones, dry bones, this day. In Jesus' name, amen.